Well, this evening we mark the feast day of Saints Philip and James. This James, all we know is he was the son of Alphaeus. He was one of the 12, but that is it, folks. He's known as James the Less, so that we don't confuse him with James the Greater, who was one of the sons of Zebedee, the first apostle to be martyred, and the brother of St. John. Now, of St. Philip, we do know more. Indeed, he was the one who, back in John chapter 1 at verse 45, says to Nathanael that, "Come and see the one about whom Moses wrote." Now, this is important. He understands that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that Moses had said about the Messiah. He is the one about whom Moses wrote, and so he says, "Now come and see about him." But now we get to John chapter 14, and here is this conversation between Philip and Jesus. It's the longest interaction between the two of them in the New Testament, and Philip says something interesting. He says, "Show us the Father." Well, back in chapter 1, he said, "I know that you are the fulfillment of what Moses prophesied," but now he says, "Show us the Father." Perhaps in part, Philip, like the other apostles, was struggling with the nature of this Messiah, the nature of this work that he is about to accomplish on the cross. And so he says, "Show us the Father." But then Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." And then he goes on to say something remarkable. He says, "Believe, if you can't believe in me, believe in the works. And in fact, not only believe in the works, but know you too will do these works, but you will do even greater works than I have ever done." It's an amazing prophetic word that the Son of God, being the Son of God, can of course proclaim. But what's so significant about it is how true it is. Here we are today, 2,000 years later, and it's because the apostles did greater works than Jesus did that we're here. Remember, at the time of our Lord's death, there were only 120 believers. We know this because of what we read in Acts chapter 1. All of them were there in the upper room. Now, granted, there were some others that St. Paul refers to, the 500, but they weren't kind of the really committed ones. These were the kind of people that were over there on the side. But even if there were 500, what's that? That's nothing. But now, think of the church. Because of the proclamation of the apostles, and this was why it's so important to remember the apostles, even those apostles that we don't know very much about, because they understood what St. Paul so clearly articulated in this evening's first lesson from Corinthians, where he says, "I was untimely born," and then later on in that passage from 1 Corinthians, he calls himself the least of all the apostles. So it wouldn't be James that is the least. He would say, "I'm the least." But this apostle, this Paul, listen to how he understands the mandate of those early witnesses. "I have the good news that I have proclaimed to you, in which you in turn received, in which you stand, and through which you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain." Now, here's the key thing. This is proclamation. This is declaration. And I love the fact that the church today pairs this with Psalm number 19. Those verses that Judith read to us from the Psalm are not about human beings. It's about revelation of creation. It's the creation by its very being declares the glory of God. And the creation's word goes out throughout all the earth. And now the church says, we see how the apostolic witness does the exact same thing. Because here St. Paul says, "I have proclaimed this message that is not my own. This message that has been given to me, has been entrusted to me." And here's the amazing thing that has happened for 2,000 years. As this message has been proclaimed, there are many people from every nation, every language, every race, who have received it. And not only have they received it, they are standing on this reality. But not only are they standing, says St. Paul, they are being saved. But here's the crux of the matter. You need to hold firmly to it, unless you have come to believe in vain. And sadly, that's the reality for some. There's some who at the end say, "This is all vanity of vanities. This message means nothing." But for those who are able to say, "No, This is the message that has been proclaimed. This is the message on which I stand. This is the message that is saving me. This is the message that I will hold firmly to until death. Then we are standing with Philip. We are standing with James. And that's why I'm wearing red tonight. I'm not wearing red tonight because particularly of the Holy Spirit, although it's partly the Holy Spirit, it's because the Holy Spirit gave to these men the courage to say, we'll die for this faith. Nothing is going to prevent us from saying yes to this proclamation. And so what I want to convey to you this evening is that because of the nature of our faith, which is a revealed faith, it's revealed through natural law in creation. That's why all of creation can give glory to God. It is revealed through particular revelation, which is through the law, the prophets, the New Testament, and through the church. Because this is our faith, we are a people who are also called to be witnesses by the way in which we proclaim, by the way in which we live our lives. And this is where it gets to the heart of this evening's gospel. When Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, by extension, when people see us, they should see the Father. That's what this Christianity is all about. And what does it mean for people to be able to look at us and to see the Father? Well, let me put it to you this way, that at the heart of our mission is this assignment, that we are to live a lifelong focus so as to be united with Jesus. We are to obey his holy will. We are to proclaim his kingdom of love. In essence, our holiness is contingent on willingly and lovingly doing the will of the Father. And during this month of May, this is why we focus particularly on Mary. Because by the very simplicity and, in a sense, the anonymity of her life, the quietness, the seclusion of her life, that she embodied this reality so fully that we look to her for our own inspiration. In the end, there are three powers controlling the universe, and one ultimately wins. There is God's will, there is human free will, and there is the devil's free will. United with God, no power of hell can prevail over us. But you need to understand this. There's God's will, there's our free will, and there's the devil's free will. And when we take to heart what St. Paul says this evening, we hear this proclamation and say, I am going to stand on the will of God. I am going to live in such a way that I know it is his will worked out in my life that is saving me. That is the only vocation that is worth living for. That is the only vocation that is worth dying for. May we take to heart the example of St. Philip. May we take to heart the example of St. James. And during this month of May, may we most especially take to heart the example of our Blessed Mother and hold firmly to the message that we have received. It's not ours. It's been given to us by God, in which we are to stand, by which we are being saved, to which we are to hold on to firmly. St. Philip, St. James, St. Paul, Blessed Mary, our Mother, pray for us that we would live with such conviction.